Let me read this in Philippians 3, in verse 17. It says, "Brothers, be united in imitating me. Keep your eyes fixed on those who act according to the example you have from me. For there are so many people of whom I have often warned you, and I now warn you again with tears in my eyes, who behave like the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are destined to be lost. Their God is the stomach. They glory in what should be shameful, since their minds are set on earthly things. But our homeland is in heaven, and it's from there that we are expecting our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change this wretched body of ours into a glorious body, through the working of the power which he has, even to bring all things under his mastery." And when I looked at this, it was like, it's good that you can have shame until you find the cross. There are people now who don't have shame. They have so embraced the enemy's glory as even superior that they're lost. They're eternally lost. Those who can justify abortion and feel no shame about it. Those who can justify pornography and just all these horrible things, murder, all these things, and have no shame. Because when you lose the ability to even have shame before the cross, there is just nothing convicting you. And that's why God's going to come and destroy most of the earth and the inhabitants during the tribulation. So in one way you can say, "Devil, you put all this shame on me. But I know these things that hurt me. I know these things that caused me to sin, or that was sin done to me, or put all these lies in my heart. I know that there is a God whose blood covered every bit of it. It covered the person who hurt me, if they ever asked forgiveness. It covers any bitterness and vengeance that I would have towards them. And I need the cross." See, you are the most lost when you don't know you need the cross. So first of all, you can say, "Lord, thank you that at least I knew that there was something better than the way I felt and all this shame and condemnation. Now help me to be totally free to really enjoy that I'm made in your likeness and I have your glory in my life." After the cross, folks, we have to let go of the shame. Because what we are saying when we allow shame to continue to hold us bound is that we really were not made to be honored. We really aren't made in the likeness of God. And we have reason to feel like there's something really wrong with us. And what you are saying to God who made you, who loves you, who created you exactly how he wanted you to be, you're saying to him, "You were wrong. You were wrong to make me this color. You were wrong to put me in this family. You were wrong to make me male or female. You were wrong." When we carry shame after the revelation of the cross, we are saying to God, "You didn't know what you were doing when you made me. I don't glorify you." And what we have to realize, it's kind of like, on a very small scale, if I was drawing a painting and it was my painting and nobody else even liked how it looked, but I really loved it, it's for my glory. Now, God has given us gifts. So when we get really free, when we really get free, we now give of these gifts and these things for his glory. It's like, "God, my value is in that I was made in your image. Wow. I can hold my head up. I don't care what the devil's done to me. I have just as much reason to speak as anyone else. I have just as much reason to sing, to dance. I have as much reason to believe for my family. I have just as much reason to enjoy my life as anyone else. Because God, you made me. You love me. You have eternity for me that is totally without a problem because of your great love for me. And everything I don't like about myself or my life are things the devil has purposely done to take your glory away from you, to have me not honor you for making me, to have me not honor you for making me just like I am." or for having allowed the devil to come in and create me how he wants me to be, so people can't see how you made me, so people can't see your glory. But I don't want to be what the devil's made anymore. I want what you have for my life. I don't want to make myself. I don't want to allow my spouse to make me. I don't want my parents to create me. God, I want to be who you want me to be. And I want to totally be free in that for your glory. And then any gifts I have, anything that you gave me because you thought it would be fun to give it to me. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I'm not more special because I have it. It has nothing to do with my value. Nothing at all to do with my value. That's works. That's the enemy's lies. It's just something you put in there because it's fun. You like that Karen sings like that. You just like it, God. You don't love her because she sings like that. You just love her, and you thought it'd be great to have her sing like that. You like that Teresa does the flags like that. You like giving her those ideas. But God, you don't love her because she does the flags like that. You love her because you love her. And then because you're a creative, awesome God, you gave her that for your glory. You like how this person sings or this person dances or this person's how they can put things together and think or how articulate they are, or how they can write. Some person, God, you just made them to be a very gentle, quiet person that just walking into the room changes the atmosphere to one of peace and gentleness. That's what you wanted to do with them. Somebody else, God, you just gave them this personality that when they walk in the room, everybody wakes up and is excited when they don't even know what they're excited about. You just made them like that, Lord. They're not better than the one who just walks in and there's this peace. There's just this calmness around them. My husband is the calm one. My husband's idea of dancing in church is, but to him, that is dancing because he's clapping unto the Lord and it takes all his breaking through to do it. But his wife doesn't dance that calm. I'm not better than him. I'm not more spiritual than him. My value is not greater than his. God has given our family the gifting of two extremes. So I come on the scenes and the kids are like, yay, go mom, whatever. But then they like to go home and watch the football game with a popcorn and a soda and chilled out. Where if mom comes in the room, nobody's going to sit there just watching a football game. I've got to get in front of the TV. What are y'all doing this for? God's a God of variety. Love who you are. Quit competing with everybody.